Hey friends, happy hump day Wednesday, 1 Corinthians 15 today, two more chapters in Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth today and tomorrow, and then we'll head into 2 Corinthians. But today in chapter 15, I got to tell you, there's good stuff here. There's a lot of amazing quote-worthy verses loaded into this chapter. And to be honest, I had a really hard time deciding what to talk about today because there's just so much here. Paul talks about Jesus' resurrection and the fact that the risen Jesus was seen by over 500 people, most of whom were still living at the time of Paul writing this. And this brings validity to the fact that the audience would know that this is true information. And then he goes on to talk about the resurrection of the dead. So he's tying in Jesus's resurrection to the resurrection of people who have died in Christ. So there's cool stuff here. Before he goes into the resurrection of the dead, Paul makes sure that the audience understands the significance of Jesus's resurrection. I'm going to read verses 12 to 14. To you because it's this important. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Jump on down to verse 17. It says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. You see, Paul's making the point that all of Christianity hangs on this fact that Jesus not only died for our sins, but he overcame death, that he paid the price for all of our sins. And he's saying, if Jesus wasn't resurrected, if he didn't defeat death, you're still in your sin. Now, he does this cool comparison throughout this chapter from this point on, starting in verse 21, and just kind of interweaving this cool comparison between Adam, which he will denote as the first Adam, and Jesus, who is called sometimes the second Adam. I want to read verses 21 and 22 to you. It says, for since death came through a man, you see, death came because man sinned, the resurrection of the dead, that's Jesus, comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so we're born with a sin nature, and because of that we will experience physical death, so in Christ, all will be made alive. That's just a really cool comparison between Adam and Jesus. Now, if we jump down to verse 29, I'm going to read verse 29 to you because I don't think it's a major part of this chapter that we need to spend a lot of time on, but I know that there are people who are going to read this and say, wait, what? Am I missing something? And this is the only time that this is mentioned to my recollection in the entire Bible. Verse 29 says, if there's no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? So that right there is something that can cause so much confusion. What do you mean being baptized for the dead? Well, there's three kind of possibilities of this baptism for the dead thing here. First of all, the first possibility is that Paul was saying that people were baptized for their dead relatives who died apart from Christ, who died without a relationship with Jesus. That's highly unlikely that that's what it is, but that's a possibility. The second possibility refers to believers who are dead without being baptized, and that somehow these people would be baptized in their place. Again, not very likely. The third is probably the most likely, but we don't have any definitive answer here. But it could mean that it actually means baptized in place of martyrs or people who died for their faith. So symbolically, not literally, but symbolically taking place of someone who died for their faith. Now, there's some legitimacy or possible legitimacy with this third option as Paul, and the reason we think that is because right after that in the next verse, I believe verse 30, Paul immediately talks about his own persecution. So it makes sense that he's keeping it kind of in the subject of those who are persecuted. Now, remember, Paul is not condoning the practice of being baptized for the dead. He is not instructing in this. The true meaning of this verse is unknown because there's no recorded historical or biblical data outside of this passage that would show that this was a common thing. But I wanted to address it because you'll want me to address it. Now, back to our resurrection after we die here. Starting in verse 35, it's really, really good stuff here. I'm going to turn over here and read a little bit of this to you. He says in verse 35, "But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body He has determined, and to each kind of seed He gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another." So if we jump down to verse 42, it says, "So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable." That is our human body, our mortal body. "It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor." That means we're born in sin, but it is raised in glory. "It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised with a spiritual body." And so Paul is talking about the fact that we will have a resurrected body when we die, and the perishable body will be clothed with imperishable. We will get our new bodies eventually, our perfect body later on. And so I want to end with this today. Those of you who fear death, I want you to read this passage very carefully, where it talks in verse 55. It says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" I want to remind you that death has been swallowed up in victory, and you don't have to fear death. God has a new life for you for eternity. And then the last thing. So in all of this, Paul ends this chapter with encouragement, verse 58. "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain." Be back with you tomorrow as we wrap up 1 Corinthians.